Before I get into my message, I want to give a shout out again. I know we talked about it last night, but to Gangro Ministry. Gangro Ministry is my heart. And even last night, passing on the baton, like I said, we're not gone, it's not whatever. Gangro Ministry will always have a place in my heart. This is where I found my purpose. When I was here, I was a broken teenager when I came to God. And Gangro Ministry gave me that purpose. When I came to, yes, it was the Lord, but it was in Gangro Ministry where I surrendered my life, where God began to raise me up. And I am totally grateful that Jesus saved me at a young age. I know where I could have been. I know I could have been lost with no direction, no purpose. And it's been my privilege to serve this region for 13 years as the Gangro Regional. And again, it's my privilege to pass this on to Leslie. And I just wanted to give that special shout out. I love my leadership within this ministry. And I know God has greater. Amen. I know God has greater. And it's been a journey. Like Leslie said, some of you in here, you're 13, 14, 15 years old. Life is a journey. But I'm going to tell you what we're going to talk about this morning, being totally His. You're going to be here through your 20s. You're going to be here through your 30s. You're going to be here through your 40s and 50s. God is able to keep you. I'm a living testimony of God's keeping power. And I'm not nothing special. It's not where I came from, what family I was born into. It was God. And not only was it God's love, but it was my decision to choose Him back. Amen. So I thank the Lord. I thank God for, like I said, just that He saved me. I truly don't take it for granted. I know where I could be without Him. And like I said, I was 15 years old when I came into Victory Outreach. And I'm 36. And that's God's keeping power. Amen. So I want to thank my Lord and Savior. Never does it get dull or boring or, oh, you always say it doesn't matter. I will always be grateful that Jesus rescued my family. Of course, I want to thank my husband. It's a privilege. It's a privilege to walk by His side. He's a great man of God, and we've been on this journey together. And also my children, who Junior 6, so if you could pray for him. He has a chicken pox, amen. I know. And of course, I want to thank my pastors, Pastor Danny and Sister Barbara, who I love so much. We've been on this journey together. And even being the Gangro Regional, I've been with them on this journey through ups and downs in this region. Amen. And I want to thank you so much, Sister Barbara. I love you and I appreciate you. And I thank God for your leadership in my life. And it's crazy how it truly is a journey. I've known her since I was young and now I'm a little older. And we've just been on this journey together. And I thank God for her leadership. Even when I thought I didn't want it, even when I was like, whatever, I don't want to listen. I don't want to be obedient. But I thank God that there were women in this church that were willing to go after me, willing to invest. And I know there's more. She's my leader. And I know there's other women that have made the investment in my life. And I am eternally grateful because it was their wisdom. It was the word of God that they spoke into me that has kept me all these years. Amen. So I truly thank God for you, Sister Barbara. I love you. And this morning, I'm just going to go ahead and pray. I'm going to get into the word. Heavenly Father, we come before you, Lord, and I just thank you, God. I thank you for your word, your anointing, God. I thank you for this time, Father, with these women and gang girls, God. Lord, that you're setting them apart for something great, Father. You have such a bright future, oh God. And Father, I pray your anointing this morning, God. I pray you lead and guide me, God. I pray I be your mouthpiece this morning. And Lord, we ask that you would be with us, Father. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen. Well, I am excited to be here this morning at Passion for Purity. Choose purity. Amen. What I want to talk about this morning is the title of our Choose Purity is Totally His. Totally His. I'm not talking about your Facebook friend. Amen. I ain't talking about that dude at school that's hitting you up. I'm talking about Jesus. Totally His. What is totally? All of you. Everything about me is totally His. And so I want to take you, I want to talk about the love story. I mean, we all want the love story, right? I mean, come on, let's be real. How many single women up in this house? You're a young adult. We all want the love story, right? And I want to just talk a little bit real quick just to kind of catapult this into my message is the way God brought me and my husband together. I remember being younger, right? Young adult, younger, not middle school. I was a young adult. And I remember there were these things. Okay, so back in the day, I know it's different now, but how many remember that thing you would like, I didn't do this, but I know about it. So you have a flower, right? We got flowers. You pull a petal. He loves me. He loves me not. He loves me. He loves me not. And then they would like wait for hopefully that last petal was he loves me, right? Or you're liking somebody and then you're like writing Patrick plus Michelle, all these plus. Oh, let me see how that last name looks on my last name. Start writing your name out with his last name, right? Maybe that was just me. But we all want the love story. And so so for me and my husband, like again, I didn't marry Pastor Pat. I married Pat that was from the home. Amen. So back in the day, he was just Pat from the home. And one day, so I'm going to tell you something. If you don't know by now, my husband really can't sing. He can't really carry a tune. He wants to. And when he's up here with announcement, he's like, wow, he's not singing because he can't sing. Praise the Lord. I'm glad he still tries. But my point to that is he joined the worship team, right? This is back in like 2002 or one somewhere. He joined the worship team and the brother can sing. I know Pastor Charles had him on the line mic, but because he could dance and he would, you know, they needed guys. So one day at practice, I was on the worship. Okay. So that should tell you why he was on the worship. He was in a relentless pursuit. Hallelujah. So I'm on the worship team. He's on the worship team. One day we're crossing in the hall. And again, I don't know this guy. He was in the men's home. I didn't talk to the men's home. Amen. Shout out to the homes. But I didn't talk to the men's home. No offense, anybody that went through the homes. So one day we're crossing in the hallway and he stops me, right? And I'm like innocent. I'm like, oh, okay, this guy. He's like, so his famous words, and this is something we like laugh about now because it's kind of funny. So we call it the Christian pickup line. And what he told me, so he stops me in the hallway. He's like, hey, what's your testimony? And I was like, well, I grew up in a broken home, and I started telling him my testimony, all heartfelt, and we were lost, and there was drugs, all this stuff, right? So I gave a big old heartfelt testimony, and after I'm done, like, crying and mocos and everything, then he's like, so you want to go to lunch one day? And I was like, oh, my God, why didn't I see this, right? Why didn't I see this coming? Like, what? And my response was, I need to talk to Sister Barbara. And I did. I talked to her. She was out of country. And this was a little while back. It wasn't easy to call people out. Like now it's cool, whatever, Mexico, no big deal. But back then it was expensive. And she happened to call the office that day or the next day. And I gave her the rundown. And she says, well, do you like him? And I'm like, I don't know him. I know he's on the worship team, he can sing, and he's from the home. That's all I know about him. He has a long goatee, and that's pretty much it. He has these dance moves, but I just told her I don't know him. And then so she told me what to do, and I said, okay, so we did that. And little by little, we got to know each other. We went on our first lunch and just talked. We got to know each other, and when the time was right, we talked about dating, went to my pastors, right? We were obedient in that. We were accountable with that. And then that's history. That's how we became together. And now we're the ladies. Amen. So I thank God for that. Amen. So what I'm saying is a lot of times we want the greatest love story, right? Especially when it comes to purity, especially after a certain age, you begin to realize what you want and what you don't want. Sometimes in middle school, we're not totally thinking there, but you have to know that God does have an awesome future for you, but we all want the love story. And nowadays it's different. Nowadays, right, it's social media. They hit you up on social media, young, old, it don't matter. Dudes be hitting you up. And instead of like going up to you, asking what's your testimony, they're like texting you, messaging you, direct messaging you, DMing you. Right? And that's how a lot of things start. Like, it's just totally different today. So they, like, friend request you, and then they DM you, and then, oh, you accept them. You look at their profile, and they're, okay, I'm going to accept them. You become friends, and then you start looking at his page, checking out his pictures, right? All I'm saying is there's a difference. So, but we all want the love story. If you have your Bibles, go to John chapter 14, verse 15. Simple but powerful scripture I want to read. John chapter 14, verse 15. The Word of God reads, "If you love me, you will obey what I command." And this scripture is straightforward. And I wanted to talk about the love story because when you fall in love, things change. The who we are, we change. We adapt. We grow. We all want the love story. And when it comes to Jesus, he said, this is Jesus speaking. If you love me, you will obey what I command. Our purity rests on our relationship with Jesus. If you love me, you'll obey me. Love equals obedience. And I know sometimes that's hard to understand, but love equals obedience. Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey me. And if our purity rests on our relationship with Jesus, because if you're not in love with Jesus, you're not going to wait for Jesus. You're not going to care. It doesn't matter. You're not going to care about the things he cares about. But if you love him, you'll wait. Love equals obedience. When you love somebody, you love what they love. You'll do what he says. You'll value what he values. You'll be a surrendered gang girl, a surrendered woman. When you love somebody, you'll be surrendered. When you're in love, there's some things I want to talk about. When you're in love, you have a connection. A connection to know him. To know him is to love him. One, he wants more of you, gang girl. This is a challenge. God doesn't want a little bit of you. He doesn't want you just on Sunday morning or at gang night. God wants more of you. Prayer and the word, reading our Bibles is a necessity. That means you'll die without them. Again, when I came in at 15 years old, I didn't pray every day, but God started challenging me and I had a prayer life. I began to understand prayer. I began to understand reading my word. And from that, it grew. But I'm telling you now, if you don't pray, you don't stay. Amen. The old VO sayings, all those things are truth. If you can't have a relationship with God, then you're not going to make it. Prayer and reading your word, you'll die if you don't have them. You have to have prayer and the word. If you have a connection with somebody, you're in constant communication. When we were dating, how many know we were texting? We were calling. We were talking. I lived with Pastor at the time. And I didn't have a cell phone yet. They weren't as big as they are now. So we had the landlines, which means house phones. So I'd be on the phone in the garage. There's no privacy. So I go in the garage, I'm Pastor's, and I'd be talking to Pastor Pat. And we'd just be talking about whatever, ministry, life, whatever. And then I remember one time Sister Barbara, Pastor was like, Barbie, you gotta talk to her. She's on that phone too long. They're talking too long. And then so she corrected me, like, girl, you need to calm down. You guys are talking too long. I said, okay, amen. Amen. But my point is when you want that connection, you're going to connect, right? When you want to be connected to somebody, you'll connect. And it's the same with God. We need to connect. We need to fall in love with Jesus. Sometimes we're too concerned with everything else. And the answer is falling in love with Jesus. Some of us have never even been broken in the presence of God. We never sat there before the Lord and began to tell him how much we love him and begin to be broken on his grace, on his mercy. We've never felt the presence like that. Because sometimes we can be so hard inside where we just do whatever. We just come to church and that's all it is church life. Because your parents make you come. Or it becomes church life because this is what I have to do. But we need to have a genuine love relationship with God, that we love him, that we seek him, that we know him. And I believe the biggest threat is the mind of this world. Sometimes we don't believe it. We live in unbelief. We can't believe these things. We hear it because that's something that attacks this generation, is unbelief. We doubt it. We doubt the things of God. That's why we don't follow after him. But I'm going to tell you, gang girl, woman of God, we need to be convinced. We need to be convinced, and just like in a relationship, you got to be convinced that that man only has eyes for you. It's the same with God. You need to be convinced that he saved you. Because some of you that are baby gang girls, right, we're in church and we're not all grateful. God didn't save me from nothing. And sometimes we can have that mentality, like, God didn't do nothing for me. But I'm going to tell you, God saved you. Some of you don't even know what God truly saved your parents from. That could have been your curse. God saved you. You have to be convinced that Jesus was the answer, that Jesus saved you. It doesn't matter if you're a church kid or not. Jesus saved you. We have to be convinced. And also we have to be convinced that he called you. He made you with a purpose. God called you. Some of you don't believe it because you think you're not her. You don't dress like that. You're not cool enough. You're not popular. You say all these things you're not, but you have to be convinced of the calling of God upon your life. And also you need to be convinced that he loves you, that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. God loves you. And thirdly, when you're in love, you learn how to be content. And what that means is you're satisfied with the Lord. Waiting calls for waiting. When you wait, you're waiting. The Bible says in Luke chapter 2:49, "Why are you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my Father's house?" Another version says, "Didn't you know I was about my Father's business?" And that was Jesus talking to his parents. And that's what some people should be looking for you. The world should be looking, where are you at? Well, don't you know I have to be about my Father's business? We got to be content with the things of God. Another scripture in 1 Corinthians is on your certificate. It talks about how an unmarried woman is concerned about the Lord's affairs. Her aim is to be devoted to the Lord, both body and spirit. And what does it say? Be content with you and Jesus. Sometimes we look everywhere else for things to fulfill us, to satisfy us. We need to be fulfilled in the things of God. If it's just me and you, Jesus, if you can't say that prayer, then you're not content. If it's just me and you, Jesus, I am happy. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for raising me up. While everybody else is dating, hooking up, talking, texting, sexting, all that, we have to learn how to live separated lives. We can no longer allow things in. We have to be content with the Lord. We have to be devoted to him fully, 100% with God. And the fourth thing is commitment. When you're in love, you're committed. Jesus was committed all the way to the cross, no matter what mentality. Because even being young, going to school, you're going to have some temptations. There's always going to be an opportunity, gang girl. There's always going to be somebody that's waiting, checking you out, text, hey, trying to get your attention. There's always opportunity. There's always going to be opportunity. The flesh, hello, the flesh is weak. Amen. The flesh is weak, and sometimes we get put in situations where we're going to have to make decisions. And also hard times. Sometimes you're going to feel rejected. You're going to try to talk about Jesus, and they're going to shut you down. You're going to go through times of feeling depressed or out of place. But even through that, hard times are going to come and go. But we have to make a decision no matter what. People are going to talk about you and your purity ring, right? You're going to wear that thing and you're going to tell them what it means. And like, why are you always wearing that ring? You're going to tell them, and then people are going to like, what? That's crazy. How old are you? Why are you waiting? I'm telling you this because this is how it goes. People think it's foreign that you're waiting. The world doesn't think it's like, whoa, what are you doing? You know, is there a problem? Like, why aren't you dating? Why aren't you hooking up? Why aren't you doing? There's going to be all these questions. But you have to know, even through people talking, people are going to mock your faith. They're going to pull you down. They don't understand what you're doing. But even through that, you have to learn how to stay committed. And lastly, under that is conviction. When you're in a relationship, you should act like it. I mean, because some people don't act like it, right? We know what I'm saying. When you're in a relationship, you should act like that. What am I saying? We live a life of conviction. The way you live, are you hot or are you cold? Are you sold out or not? There's no in between. When you're in a relationship, you got to act like it. Stop going around and talking and flirting, doing all these things. When you are in a genuine relationship with Jesus, you have to act like it. You have to know him. Do you conform or do you transform? The Bible says to no longer conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And let me tell you, it's so easy to get caught up and just conform, to just act like it. That's what conform means, to just act like the world. It's easier to go to school and act like my friends that don't know Jesus. It's easy to go to my family and act like my cousins that don't know Jesus. It's easier to do that. But do we conform or do we transform? We got to be gang girls and women that learn how to change, that grow, that trust God. Some of us have side sin. Have that little hidden sin. I'm just saying, even your parents don't know. I attribute a lot of that to those phones. I love my phone. I use my phone for a lot of things. But there are things I will not. You have to learn. There's side sin. The things we watch, it matters. The things we open doors to, it matters. And sometimes things can even happen by accident, searching stuff on Google. But you have to learn how to turn from those things, because again, those things will create that sin in your life, and then you have hidden sin, and now you're running from it, and you're trying to hide it this whole time. It's time to be women and gang girls of conviction. And lastly, under that, when you have a conviction and you're in a relationship, there's no other options. The moment I said I do, that was it. There was no other option. There isn't. My eyes are still looking. Oh, that guy looked at me. Let me look his way. There's not another option. If you're committed to Jesus, you're in it all the way or not. We have to be gang girls who are sold out, that there's not another option. I look into the world to fulfill me. I look into the world for my calling. I look into the world. I'm looking to Jesus because he's my option. The Bible says in Luke chapter 10, verse 27, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and strength. God wants all of you. Everything you are, God wants you. He wants you also to be whole. The Bible talks about being whole, spirit, soul, and body. Everything. And I want to talk about some things. Yes, we can build a relationship. We can have Jesus. Right, we could be praying, we could get, you know, going strong for the Lord. And then somewhere along the line, we could lose it. Somewhere along the line, we could allow the enemy in. And these are real things, girls. Your purity is not like the enemy's not excited for that. Amen. Like I said, there's always going to be opportunity. And it's our choice. Every opportunity is your choice to choose purity. It's your choice. When he's texting you late at night, it's your choice at school. It's your choice to go to the party. It's your choice. We have to learn how to choose purity. And the first thing I want to talk about is distraction. How many have ever been distracted? We get distraction because the attraction. Hey, sometimes we're so attracted to something or somebody, right? And we're just led by that. Oh, he's so fine. Let me go. We're all drawn, right? That attraction. We're just drawn to it. And that causes distraction in our life. It ain't wrong to, that guy's cute, whatever. But when you are being drawn away, you begin to get distracted by that. You begin to open doors. Another thing is display. What are you putting out there? What do you put on display, gang girl? When you're at school, from the way we dress to the way we talk, how we act. What do we put on display? Who are we? Who do other people think we are? What are we concerned about? Being set apart or being sexy? What are we concerned about? Being sanctified or being sensual? Being in selfie mode or living a sacrifice life? What are we concerned about? What do we put out there? When we take those cute little pictures, amen, that we post up sometimes. What does that send? What kind of message are you sending with your life, the way you live? And I'm not telling you have to wear buns in your hair and skirts all the way down to your feet and turtlenecks. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying, what are you putting out there? So distractions. Distraction. Sorry, that was display. And another thing is we can begin to dilute. When you dilute something, we begin to water down things that are holy. We don't no longer value our purity as much. Every little line that we may cross dilutes it more and more. And then it gets easier to do things that before we wouldn't do. We can't water it down, ladies. We can't water it down, gang girls. When you come to your youth night, if you're having struggles, you need to learn how to talk. You need to learn how to say, I need some prayer. Man, I'm going through it. We can't water down holy things. We need to ask God to help us. We need to ask God to give us the strength not to do that. And lastly, what I want to talk about, if you can make your way to the piano, is deliverance. Things that hold us back from falling in love with God, or maybe we're on track at one time. Deliverance. We have inward battles. There are things that you're going to face. And I know sometimes you may think, oh, middle schoolers, they're all good. No, middle schoolers have inward battles. There's things that they go through in their middle school life, in their high school life, in their young adult life. Even as women, you have inward battles that you face. And it feels like a constant fight to keep door closed. We have to battle those things. We have to allow God to take those, because some of you battle with lust. You battle with keeping that door closed. You can't say no to guys. Every time you keep opening the door. Every time somebody knocks. But God wants to take that. God wants to show you. God wants to teach your hands to battle, your fingers to war, that you don't fall into the same temptations. And sometimes, like I said earlier, we have open doors because we have hidden sin. We're opening doors in our life. We're doing things we know we shouldn't be doing. We're hanging out with the wrong crowd, bad influences that influence us to do wrong things. We have to be able to close those doors. And some of us deal with strongholds, things of the past. Like I said, some of you don't know how far your parents have come, but even the strongholds that were broken over their life. And there's some of you, a stronghold is that when you feel you can't break free from it. You know you shouldn't, or even those friends, those bad, you know you shouldn't be hanging with them, because every time, you can't stay saved. You gotta let go. God wants to take your battles and make them past victories. God is calling this generation to live holy. This morning I want to challenge you girls. Because it ain't easy. It ain't always easy to stand for righteousness or stand for purity. And I know you feel that. I know it's a serious message. But God needs us to rise up. You're Jesus' hands and feet. You're the one that's going to preach that gospel. You're the one that's going to do that. But when it comes to purity, if you're not totally devoted and in love with Jesus, you won't do it. You won't value it. You won't take it serious. So as we can all stand this morning, I want to challenge you, because like I said, some of you never been broken at these altars. You never been broken in your room. You never cried out to God. You never felt that love. And that's what's going to keep you. Jesus is going to keep you. And in that, he's going to help you keep your purity. It ain't impossible. God is able. God is able. So this morning, if we all just get into the attitude of worship, I believe God wants to do a deeper work this morning. And like I said, some of us right now, we may be distracted. We may have a little side sin. And some of us may be battling. We battle inside. We don't tell nobody. But I want you to know this morning that you can come lay it at the altar. You have women around you that care about you. And this is the time, ladies, to be serious with the things of God. If you really want it, you'll go after it. If you really want to live a life for Christ, you'll go after it. Like I said, no matter what comes my way, I'm going to serve Jesus. So this morning, I want to invite you to the altars. I believe God wants to give you a new fire, a new love, a refreshed love for Him. He wants you to know Him now more than ever. It ain't gonna get easier, girl. God has a plan this morning. You have to allow Him to speak into your life. And if there's some of you that are making a way to this altar and you've been struggling, you've been battling, God, it's hard. It's hard to live a life separated. God, I want to be like my friends. I want you to begin to speak to Him. Begin to ask Him to strengthen you. God, strengthen me. Help me live for you. Begin to say those cries from your heart. Begin to ask God, I need your strength. Fill me up. God, I don't want to be the same. want to fall in love with you, Jesus. Teach me how to fall in love with you, God. Let my heart cry out to you, God. As they sing this song, I want you ladies to come in and cry out. Close your eyes, focus yourself. And whatever you're going through, lay it at this altar.